Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Breeda Fagan is a paramedic. Breeda, good afternoon. Back to EpiPens and this awful scenario that developed on December the 18th at 6:30 in O'Connell Street in Dublin, where a child was having an anaphylactic attack and an EpiPen could not be got in time and she died on the main street. Now, what could have been done?
Good afternoon, Joe. It's hard to know really what can be done. If we look at it, and first of all, my sympathy goes out to Emma's parents and her family and friends. But in a lot of situations like this, whether it's anaphylaxis or an asthma attack or cardiac arrest or whatever, obviously it depends on what resources you have there.
Well, there was a chemist, three or four chemists within. We won't indicate any one chemist, but the chemist wasn't willing to give out the EpiPen.
Well, I mean, I'm not fully aware of the whole story, but I mean, obviously the pharmacist would have protocols on giving out EpiPens or AniPens. Maybe if the patient was in front of the pharmacy.
She couldn't make it to the pharmacy.
No, and I understand that, Joe. I really don't know. I mean, I know pharmacists, you know, for example, like the flu vaccination, they are trained to give an AniPen if somebody obviously has a reaction to it. I actually don't know what their protocol is, but we really, what I'm emphasising, Joe, is that we cannot have an ad hoc situation where medicine is given out. We have to look at, and obviously the pharmacists, very well trained people. Now, I'm not a pharmacist, and I really don't know the whole story, but we have contraindications and side effects for each medication that we would give our patients. So,
yeah, but isn't it widely regarded that the EpiPen is a miracle?
No, Joe, it's not a miracle.
Well, they say, we heard yesterday, it's not, we're not, and I know you're not referring to it in that context, but we heard yesterday of people saying, it did save my life instantaneously. I jabbed the EpiPen. And it's a small incision into my thigh, and it literally saved my life. There is no other medicine that can have that effect for somebody, and in this case, it's an anaphylactic attack. It's a miracle cure in that sense.
There is no such thing as miracle or magic drugs out there, Joe. I can understand where some people are coming from, and if they have a reaction, it depends on what type of a reaction. You may have a mild reaction or a moderate or a severe reaction. Obviously, if you have a severe reaction to whatever you've eaten or a medication or latex or something like that, but if, for example, somebody was walking down O'Connell Street and or anywhere, I'm not saying anywhere in Ireland, and somebody has a reaction to some medication or food or whatever. Mm. And if they administer an EpiPen to somebody who has just mild kind of form of anaphylaxis, I mean, remember, we have a lot of side effects. And what can happen to somebody, let's say a mild reaction would be a runny nose, sneezing. And we've all had them, and people have had them. You know, summertime coming up now, people will have reactions. They are mild reactions.
Yeah, but this child is dying on the street, literally dying on the street. Her face is swelling. She cannot breathe.
Yes.
Her lips are swelling.
Yes, absolutely. And for this girl, I mean, it was obviously severe anaphylaxis. Now, what I have to say to people is that it is very, very important that we call for help very, very quickly. That's the first thing we must do.
I know. And we live in a country, whether we accept it or not, it's the truth for a lot of people, that if you're outside cities and you call for an ambulance, the reality at the minute is it can take 40 to 50 minutes. And the ambulance controller will tell you that.
Yeah, but obviously, whatever the reason was in O'Connell Street, I mean, the ambulance didn't come.
Well, it came immediately. It came within 12, 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And the problem was that the Caroline got into a total panic, as you can understand.
Oh, I'm very,
her daughter
very,
is dying.
Absolutely.
It's a dark evening. It's December
the
18th. It's a blustery evening. She runs into a chemist, and you're saying these protocols can never be... One, there doesn't seem to be any protocols anyway. That's the worry. There's no protocols, it seems. And two, you're saying, well, they can never be overridden anyway. If you had been walking by that evening, Would you have administered an EpiPen if you had one in your paramedic bag that you happened to be carrying?
Oh, absolutely.
With you?
And I mean, I would carry ampules as well with me. And absolutely, of course I would. And I would look first and assess my patient and see was it mild, moderate or severe. And obviously you would know severe anaphylaxis because, I mean, normally what happens when somebody, really what happens is it's your immune system and our immune system is supposed to protect us from anything from outside and indeed inside. And normally when somebody, maybe a food or a bee sting or a medication. I mean, the first thing that will happen symptom is that they'll feel very sick and, they have symptoms like they feel nauseated, they vomit and diarrhea, whatever.
Yeah. But the new, and Jim Harton's on the line as well. I'll bring him in a second.
Sorry.
Jim, there's another man. I'm going to make this a similar argument to yourself, which is a new argument to me. I know you administer an EpiPen into a muscle mass on the body and there's plenty of them. You don't.
Well, now we have to be careful about plenty of them. I mean, it's a medication.
Well, there's your thigh. There's your
thigh, your arm. I mean, most of the time we would inject it into the thigh, and the reason for that is because an EpiPen can go through clothes. The only thing it will do is a seam or leathers or things like that. Mm-hmm. But we have to be careful. For example, most people, and I think one of your listeners said yesterday that, you know, when people don't like needles, and as soon as your patient sees this, you approaching her with this needle, they'll move the leg. So the adrenaline is not going in. So there are ways that, I mean, obviously you will hold the leg and you will obviously have the patient position sitting down or lying down and raise their feet maybe 12 inches because this will help with shock. But you see, as well, I mean, when this allergy enters the body, when somebody eats something or they have a reaction to latex, I mean, what happens? I mean, are people out there aware of what anaphylaxis is? You know, I mean, I've spoken to an awful lot of people.
The general understanding of EpiPen or Anapen, whatever the trade name is at the minute, is that they do. They can save lives instantaneously.
They can actually be life-threatening. Because
Can you be killed by an EpiPen?
They can.
Well, where does it have to be jabbed to kill me?
Okay, well, no. Sorry, Joe. I mean, it is given into a muscle. And you must,
we know that. Yeah.
You know, where to measure where it's given in, whether it's in the arm or the leg. And, I mean, you are trained to give it and to count. Let's say when I give my EpiPen.
Is it the same training I'd need to use a defibrillator?
Well, no. I mean, your researcher
There's no hope. Child could not have been saved. Harnett's in Limerick. Jim, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Nice to
you're against, briefly, you're against the widespread distribution of EpiPens as well. Why?
I think, and basically for the same reasons, I think that there is the potential there that they can be used wrongly. And, you know, if you use them wrongly, you may as well not have used them at all in the first place. And to use the comparison to defibrillators, there's a huge perception out there that you simply stick on the pads across the chest and press the button. But it's not quite like that at all. And I think television has served us poorly in that respect, because anytime you see, like cop programs or stuff like that, the pads are put on badly, they're put on wrongly, they're put on the wrong places, and you see somebody leaping a foot off the ground, and they're suddenly back to life. And the reality isn't like that at all. And my concern would be that if, I think it's Breda, there's another line there. My concern would be the same as her, that our concern should be to call Advanced Life Services first and then go looking for an EpiPen if it's available. Because even though it might take half an hour for the ambulance to get there, if you spend 10 minutes looking for an EpiPen, then you decide to ring the ambulance.
I know that. But as I say, the response rates for whatever has happened to our ambulance service, I know they're brilliant. The individuals involved are brilliant and they've nothing but noble intent from the top to the bottom. But the reality, and they talk about the decrease in the number of ambulances and all the pressures they're under, the reality can be 40 to 50 minutes, and that's too long.
Do
you think we need more and clearer protocols about the use and availability of EpiPens?
Every paramedic, every emergency services worker will have things called CPGs, or clinical practitioner's guidelines, and you have to work by those. If you go outside of those, then you're in trouble. I don't know what the situation is with pharmacies at all, whether they have them or not. But maybe the solution is to allow, in these kind of life-threatening situations, to allow somebody who clearly knows the drug backwards to safely use it, rather than having somebody wandering in off the street and jabbing the EpiPen in anywhere. Because, I mean, there are side effects. And if you inject it straight into a vein, for example,
yeah,
then the adrenaline goes straight to the heart, and then you're presented with another problem.
I know. So you don't inject. So it's clear. I would have. I'm a lay person. I would have known that. Muscle mass.
Yeah. Ruth, but a lot of people wouldn't know. You'd be surprised.
Ruth Charles is a consultant. Ruth, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You're listening to this. Do you agree that there should be protocols about EpiPens and availability and Good Samaritan rules and emergency and overruling what some people might regard as bureaucracy? Go ahead, Ruth.
Well, I'm conscious I'm coming in on the middle of this, Joe, and it's because I actually work with children and families affected by food allergies. So when you were covering this yesterday, okay, I was actually at work. But one of our network members told me, so that's why I got in contact with you. I'm part of the Irish Food Allergy Network, which is a relatively new group. And what we are trying to do, we're a network of professionals from all across the spectrums in terms of food allergy and families. And what we're trying to do is raise the level of awareness of food allergy among those that it affects. And one of the strategies or one of our aims would be to try and address the very things that you're talking about. And in fact, certain steps have been taken in one particular part of the country to actually roll out a particular trial of exactly what you're talking about. There's just logistic difficulties in terms of trying to get it up and running off the ground.
So what is the idea of the trial? What is the...
Well, Professor Hourihan, who is a consultant paediatrician in Cork, was looking into having adrenaline pens available in a very limited trial circumstance. And he's in discussions with the HSC at the moment about that. And about
you're saying
that trial
available within community shopping centres, busy spots?
With the aim of working towards that scenario eventually, yes.
Okay. And what is this trial ongoing?
I'm not sure. You'd have to talk to him directly about where it is at the moment, but it's certainly very much on the cards among people who work with children and families affected by food allergy.
What percentage of the population would be affected by a food allergy, do we know?
It depends. In the world of children, it can be anything from... it depends on the food, Joe. It depends on the age of the child. You're talking roughly, very rough figures, anything from about 2% up to 7%. It really does vary. But for those that it affects, the statistics don't really matter. It really affects them. It really affects their quality of life. And, you know, up until November of this year, we didn't have a paediatric allergist in Ireland.
Yeah.
So that's only been a very, very recent appointment. So we're way behind the UK and Europe.
But I know all that, and I know those arguments because we've rehearsed them here so often, and I know the validity of them as well. But in this case, Caroline Sloan is calling for a protocol about the use and availability of EpiPens. That is the difference in the terms of the... I know this argument, anaphylactic EpiPens, comes up time and time again, but I thought this was the difference in the issue raised by Caroline Sloan yesterday. Her daughter is 100% dead, unfortunately. She died on the main street of the capital on December the 18th for want of an EpiPen. And that was her point. Okay, thanks, Niamh, for all your contributions. 51551.